For Good Measure, an interview series celebrating diverse composers and other creative artists, sponsored by a grant from the California Arts Council. I'm Nanette McGinnis, Artistic Executive Director of Ensemble for These Times. In this week's episode, we continue our conversation with Darian Donovan Thomas, who we spoke to in December 2021. I first encountered your music in Kid Gunner Brother, a fabulous spoken word piece based on a simple hand game which you wrote when you found out your then 11-year-old brother felt he needed a gun to protect us from ISIS, but as a mixed child in Texas didn't know about the KKK. Could you talk about the work and its inspiration?
Yeah, of course. My brother's great. I love my little brother. He's hilarious. We're 13 years apart. And he's starting to do music himself, which is really fun. Yeah, but we were having this conversation at a Pizza Hut, which is why Pizza Hut's all over that piece. And I would love to be sponsored, but oh well.
So Pizza Hut, if you're listening.
Right. But yeah, we were just talking and he was talking about, he's much more boy than I am. So he's always really loved guns and violent things, as any little boy does, and it's great. But this time in particular, I was just like, this is interesting and I want to know more. So I was like, why so much with the guns? And he was like, oh, well, because, did you know like something's coming? And I was like, what's coming? He's like, ISIS. And I was like, no. we need to fix this immediately. So we had a family conversation. I get some retaliation to this piece sometimes from people where they're like, well, terrible parents, like how could they let him know about ISIS or something? And like, or other people just being like, I don't know, I get weird responses to the piece and I'm like, no, this isn't on us. This is like a public school thing. And this is his friends, like being able to open carry at school and like all these things, you know, it's like, this is just Texas. That's like kind of outside of our hands. And that's why the conversation happened, because we were like, oh, we need to handle this because it's obviously not being handled at school. And it's like, what kind of school teaches about like something so, well, I mean, the answer is an American school and especially a Texan school, but like the idea of teaching about the troubles and problems and terrorist groups from so far away before talking about the terrorist groups in your backyard is just so asinine to me. And I would want other people to feel that same level of absurdity, you know, whenever they think about that and be like, oh yeah, why is it so much ISIS, not like, well, especially in this context, the recent turn towards like, well, the police or like the KKK or the connections therein. Like there are so many things here that need to be handled. Why are we demonizing whole other countries and like whole other people before really assessing our own demons? And I felt like this piece, through its absurdity and like putting in that format of a hand game, because the whole situation is really absurd and silly, but also so serious, could help communicate the point to people. And that's one of them where people were like, yeah, it's strange. Experiencing that piece live is really strange because people will laugh at points, which is good. That's the goal. But also I had parents coming up to me afterwards and being like, I was crying during that. Or, you know, like very, very different but visceral responses to the piece. So I think it does what it needs to do. It does that. It's austere and it recontextualizes a thing that we all know, but we don't get to talk about as much.
Very much so. It's like in the musical South Pacific. The lyrics say, you've got to be taught before it's too late to hate all the people your relatives hate. You've got to be carefully taught. And this is what kids are learning socially at ages 4, 5, 6, when they're at the hand game stage, long before they're making many or even any intellectual connections about it. Plus, if we as a society, as you say, demonize those far away, then we don't have to look too hard at our own backyard and our own prejudices and demons. So this also acts as a good societal diversion.
Right.
As you were talking, I was thinking about Texas versus New York. I made a similar move. I grew up in Texas, and then I went to college in upstate New York. I found there was quite a difference in the ethos. You spend your time now in Brooklyn, but you're clearly connected to San Antonio. So if you feel like answering, do they feel different to you? What's it like having a foot in both camps, as it were?
It's interesting. I feel like there's a weird... there are certain things that feel much more aware and much more liberal and therefore much more comfortable. But there's also a lot of things that happen where, like, the North will demonize the South often. And that feels really curious to me because, I don't know, anyone can fact check me on this, but I think that, like, the most registered, like, KKK organizations are actually in New York State.
Which is like, no way. I had no idea.
Yeah. It's not a Southern thing, you know? So I get a lot of this where it's like, oh my God, you're from the South. And I'm like, y'all need to not with that. Cause it's you too. You're not exempt. You don't get to just say like, oh my God, we're like, I don't know. Cause we picked the right side hundreds of years ago. We get a carte blanche. Like, no. there's still lots of very bad things happening up here too. And it's interesting, but like at the same time, it feels easier to be, I think the thing that's different is that you feel like you have more support from higher up in the government up here. Whereas in Texas, it's very clear that like, even in San Antonio, which is like majority brown and Latino, like I feel like I'm really comfortable being mixed, being Afro-Latino there, being queer there. But I know that kind of stops the second that we get above like local government, you know, like any support that I have is at the personal level or at the mayoral level or doesn't go much past that. Whereas up here, it's like I can have support from people around me and then I can have support from the government and it's easy to get healthcare and it's easy to do all the things I need to with my healthcare. And that feels very different. But at the same time, there are still... Almost because of that, there are these prejudices that happen that are blind spots for a lot of people where it's like, oh, you actually, that's not as advanced a thought as you think it is. Which yes. It's weird. So it's kind of like nowhere is perfect, which is a double-edged sword. Like it's good news and it's bad news. But I definitely prefer living up here. Maybe just because this is where I've built the communities for myself and this is where I know the art I want to make has avenues of being displayed.
Thank you for listening to For Good Measure, and a special thank you to our guest, Darian Donovan Thomas, for joining us today. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to our podcast by clicking on the subscribe button and support us by sharing it with your friends, posting about it on social media, and leaving us a rating and a review. To learn more about E4TT, our concert season online and in the Bay Area, or to make a tax-deductible donation, please visit us at www.e4tt.org. This podcast is made possible in part by a grant from the California Arts Council and generous donors like you. For Good Measure is produced by Nanette McGinnis and Ensemble for These Times and designed by Brennan Stokes. With special thanks to audio engineer extraordinaire Stephanie Newman. Remember to keep supporting equity in the arts and tune in next week for Good Measure.